Blog Talk Radio.
Therefore tell the people, this is what the Lord Almighty says.
Return to me, declares the Lord Almighty, and I will return to you. Zechariah 1, verse 3.
That is right. This is not a test. It's the
real thing.
It's the Christcast 2020, two generations with
one mission.
And we're here at Chick-fil-A.
At West Point Village.
That's right. And it was, I met Dr. Kim at Decision Day. He's the superintendent of Comal Independent School District.
Ooh.
And you may not know this, very public with his faith, a Christian guy.
Oh, that's good.
Really public, even in his emails to the entire district. I really respect that about him. And I talked to him about the show. He wants to join us for one of the shows next year, next school year. And I asked him.
Well, next year's going to be fun to
yes,
begin with.
That's your senior year, the final
more.
Season.
Oh,
and he told me that his favorite book of the Bible was Ecclesiastes. And so I went and sent him the show that we did on the book of Ecclesiastes. And I'd quite forgotten that that's the one where your grandfather, Stanley, does that beautiful intro with that great voice, and in that time you will. And I
don't think I got that buttery voice.
Well, you had a great voice too, but it's just that great. Yeah, he's got that great. That's a great way to put it, buttery voice. I know exactly what you mean by that. But anyway, so but the other thing I noticed when I went back and listened to that show on the show, I was so excited because I had 300 points on my Chick-fil-A app.
You probably have like 4,000.
I have 3,000 some odd points now.
Close.
And so, folks, if you haven't gotten, because it adds up pretty quickly, get the Chick-fil-A app because it's one app with
Endless Awesome.
And then, of course, the Marist Prayer Breakfast Review. A lot of fun.
It was pretty good. If you listened all the way through, props to you.
Yeah, it's a long show. I enjoyed the national anthem. I enjoyed
the
speaker.
Saxophone.
Yeah, saxophone was actually really good. I was a little discouraged by how many people made fun of my phone, so I think I probably will have to get a new phone.
Thank you.
In fact, even Thor made fun of it, and you'll hear him
because
at the break.
Because it's tiny,
yeah,
and
so that's what everyone
said.
The camera is bad. And, yeah, I think I probably will upgrade. I'm about, what, five versions behind over here. But Thor Thornhill, you'll hear him in the break talking about the power of prayer, because one of the things I've noticed lately, Kiki, is that when these terrible things happen on the news, celebrities and everybody take to Twitter and say, your prayers don't do any good. Stop praying. Stop offering your prayers. And that's just crazy.
I think they do a lot more than you just saying,
yeah.
Oh, here's some money.
Yeah.
Feel better.
Trust me, prayer works, folks. And we're going to talk about that a lot when we get to the New Testament next calendar year. Hey, we're going to talk about this amazing book of Zechariah. Kiki has introduced me to two words that I use now. One is salty, and the other is foreshadowing.
Yay!
And the trophy for foreshadowing in the Old Testament goes to
Zechariah.
Yep, absolutely. And we're going to talk about it, and we're going to do it all right after
this.
This is Christian Men's Business Connection President Thor Thornhill.
We have a personal God who loves us and wants to know us intimately, and he wants to talk to us. So prayer, all prayer is talking to the Creator that made you. So it'd be like deciding you weren't going to talk to your own dad. It just wouldn't make sense. It'd be silly. And God is in control, and he knows, he plans good for all those that love him. He knows his ways are higher than our ways, so we don't understand when he doesn't answer our prayers, but any prayer unanswered was answered because God's in complete control.
All right, let's talk about where we are timeline-wise. We're getting close. The book is written in two parts, between 520 and 470 B.C. So, man, we're into the 400s now.
Ooh.
Before Christ. His visions, they're
70
not...
70 years before God
right,
disappears
yeah,
completely.
400 years of silence. His first visions, and they're not dreams, he's awake when they occur.
There's a difference.
Occurred during the reign of King Xerxes of Persia, when he's a young man. I think that's one of the reasons I like Zechariah. He's a young guy when he's writing these. Unlike Haggai, who was kind of old.
He's like 80.
Yeah, like two generations there, too. And, of course, you'll remember King Xerxes of Persia from the book of Esther. He's the one who famously made Esther queen of Persia. And so tell us about this young guy.
So we do know Zechariah wrote the book, but Zechariah is a very common name from that time period. Over 30 men named Zechariah are mentioned throughout the Old Testament. And he can't be all the same Zechariah.
No.
So... But it means Yahweh has remembered, which is like God is remembering you and your people, which is a good way of describing Zechariah's mission overall.
Absolutely.
And we don't know much about his personality and, like, where he's from, like, his family. But we do know he is from a family of priests where, like, his parents gave him to the priesthood so he would grow up in that.
Yeah.
And he lived in the same time period as Haggai, favorite.
Yeah, so you said Zechariah in Jerusalem way back when a bunch of guys would turn around. He needed a nickname.
There would be like three guys that turn around and be like, you call?
Which Zechariah, right? Like I said, one of the words Kiki introduced me to is foreshadowing.
I'm
and it has
you didn't
a,
know that
I, well, I, don't, I didn't use it this way, but it is. This is the book of the Bible. More than any other minor prophet, and I think any other prophet, maybe outside of Isaiah, Zechariah correctly predicts not just the arrival of the Messiah, but a lot of other things we're going to talk about. In fact, if you really read it, the entire book is actually about Jesus Christ. And in Zechariah, he basically describes Palm Sunday.
And he says in Zechariah 9:9, it says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See your king come to you.
Righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." That sounds familiar. Yes, exactly. And of course,
then later on in Zechariah 12, verse 10, it says, "Zechariah also correctly predicts the Messiah that will be rejected by one of his own people."
Yeah, "and I will pour out on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem a spirit of grace and supplication.
They will look to me and have the one that they have pierced, and they will mourn for him as one mourns for an only child," which is technically God's only child, and you just crucified him.
That's right, and if you recall, when he's on the cross, the Roman centurion pierces him
in the side to make sure he's dead.
To make sure he's dead. And of course, the other things, they didn't break his bones because that was also back in the Old Testament.
Because
no bones will be broken.
You want to have a good crucifixion,
yes, exactly.
Not just the one where they just
the Romans
lay
didn't
there.
Mess around. That's right. And of course, he also correctly predicts that, okay, the Messiah is going to be rejected. However, one day he will return, which is basically the day of Revelation, the day of the Lord. It says, "On that day, a fountain will be opened to the house of David," that's important,
cool,
"and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to cleanse them from their sin and impurity." And that's
Zechariah 13, verse 1. That's more near, a little bit towards the end of the chapter.
That's also when Jason reads Kiki's prompt, my bad.
I don't think that's mattered to me before. We're still going.
I just noticed. And that is Zechariah 13:1. Now, let's talk about how we apply it today. And when you read the book of Zechariah, he's talking about that one day all the nations of the world, all the cultures of the world are going to be brought under this one house of David. And it's proof that
the Church of Christ is a church inviting others to come in and not just be like, "Oh, I'm too good for you. I'm a Christian." But he wants everyone to come into his church.
Yes, it is a church of invitation, not exclusion. Now, if you have certain things that you do, or you have, now churches have certain rules. I mean, your service kicks off at 10 o'clock, right?
Yeah, which
if,
I like.
Yeah, if I came to your church and said, "Wait a minute, I'd rather have the service at 11:30 because I want to sleep in," well, the church can't change all of those rules just for one person. And so you will find rules, but the Christian church is a church of invitation. However, Zechariah is also very clear that there's only one way to salvation, and that is the cross and the blood of
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, there's no
I'm actually
option.
Having to do a project on that, saying, are there different religions that could all lead you to heaven or in Christ? Which the answer is no.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of interesting researching all of these different religions that think this is the way that they're going to get to salvation.
Mm.
And a lot of them are similar to Christianity, but none of them are exactly like Christianity.
Yeah. The Bible is a unique book, a unique narrative that stitches together so many things historically, theologically, geographically. When I was a senior in college, that was my senior thesis, was on the different religions of the world. And as a historian, that's how I got first interested in the historical nature of the Bible, because I love
math.
Look
where that turned out.
Yeah, it turned out. And it ended up here, right here at Chick-fil-A at
West Point Village.
All right. So he does call that there will be a day of the Lord, and he describes it in Zechariah 14:6.
"On that day, there will be no light, no cold, no frost. It will be a unique day without daytime or nighttime.
A day known to the Lord when evening comes, there will be lights.
And lights in capitalized,
yes.
too. So that's that's not just a normal light source.
Not just a normal light, yeah. And so the point of Zechariah, the point of the whole Bible, really, is that day of the Lord is coming. And everything I've read, there was a time where I thought maybe Jesus wants us just all to be Christians. And once the world is entirely Christian, that is like Jesus coming back to earth in person. But no.
That's only what Jesus comes back.
He is coming back at a time to be named later. In fact, we'll be here next Thursday unless he comes back before then. That's something Pastor Fraker used to always say. Well, we'll have the pancake supper unless Jesus comes back between now and then.
Which could be pretty likely, but we still haven't had the Antichrist come.
Not
so that's
yet.
Kind of the kickoff point of everyone dying.
But what we want is for everyone to experience that beautiful life. We want everyone to experience that eternal life. And basically, what we want to say on this show is,
don't get left behind in the dust.
Yes, and in
literally.
The dark, literally, absolutely. You do not want it, because what's left here after the day of the Lord.
Because if you listen in to our Revelation book at the end of next year, you'll know why we're saying
this. Heavy duty, yes. That's going to be some heavy. But we got a ways before we get there.
I actually love the book of Revelation.
I do too.
I love all that.
It's heavy duty stuff, but we've got a while before we get there. About 24 books till we get there. Hey, my name is Jason Dyes alongside
Kiki Culpepper.
And to God be the
glory. There ain't no practice runs in life. This is